Today's daf is Psachim Daf Membeis, and we are 11 lines from the top of Daf Membeis Amid Aleph, Mei Tashmishoi Shal Nachtoim V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as Hizchus Refuah Shalema. V'Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Ovadya Ben Miriam Leia, Manuela Bas Chana, Devorah Bas Mecha, and Shmuel Ben Tehila. Today's daf is also being learned as Hizchus V'Yecheskel Shraga Ben Miro, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Kayla Bas Mordechai, David ben Zorach, and Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Amid Beis discussed a halacha with regards to preparing the matzah. Said the Mishnah, Mei Tashmishoi Shal Nachtoim, the baker who's baking matzos, the water that he used, yishfachu, he has to pour out, because there's a concern that there may be chametz inside that water. So the mitzius is that the baker's hands would get very warm when he was kneading the dough, opening and closing the oven, putting his hand near the oven, and what he had was a pail of water that he would use to just cool his hands off. So that pail of water can have a little bit of dough mixed with water, which could obviously be machmitz, and therefore Chazal said that water or that pail needs to be poured away. Zokta Gemara, Tani Chadu, we learned the Braisa that says shoyfchin, that when you pour it out, it should be b'makim madroin. Ve'in shoychin b'makim ashbayrin. You have to put it on a slanty surface. Meaning you have to put it on a surface that's going to cause the water to fall away and not settle. However, if you're going to put it inside the cracks of the ground, that's what ishbayrin means, then the water's going to settle there and you're going to have chametz in your rishos. So that's not something you could find in another braisa, that if you want to pour the water out into the cracks of the ground, that is okay. So we have a stira between two braisas. The Mishnah said, yishafchu. What are you supposed to do with the water? You're supposed to pour it away. We have two braisas that also say shoyfchim. The question is, where are you supposed to pour it? One braisa says, davke b'makam, imagine, make sure it ends up, you know, going far away. The other one says, no, even inside the cracks of the ground, which means it may end up settling. Like Kasha, the Gemara says, you have to say that there is no stira. The two braisos are discussing two different types of mitzvahs. Hadin afishi. One is talking about where there was a lot of water. If there's a lot of water, you pour it into the cracks of the ground, the kavu. Miloshon yikavu amayim. It's going to gather there, and you're going to end up having water in your rishos. If, however, there's not a lot of water, like kavu, it's not going to gather there. In that case, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Isha leitalush ela b'mayim shalanu." So Rabbi Yehuda said an important halacha in Hilchas Pesach, in the halachas of preparing matzah, and that is a woman that needs the dough for making matzah should use dafka mayim shalanu. So what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to bring an interesting anecdote as it relates to that. But just bal peh, before we see the Gemara inside, mayim shalanu means water that rested overnight. Meaning, if a woman is going to be kneading dough today, so she has to use water that she took from a spring yesterday. The reason is because we're concerned that the water that was taken out directly from the spring is too hot. And to use hot water, as the Gemara is going to say, is a problem because it's more of a chashash that it may come to chametz. So if you leave it overnight, it cools off. At that point, you don't have to worry. So this was Rabbi Yehuda Zalach. Talk to Gemara. Darsha Rav Masna. Rav Masna, also known as Rav Matana, we have a right read by on that in Masechta Zeirvin, but Rav Masna said, Bipapunya, he got up and he gave a drasha, and he said over the salacha, he said over verbatim what Rabbi Yehuda said, Isha lo tolish ela b'mayim shalanu. You want to know what kind of word you have to use to prepare matzah? It has to be mayim shalanu. Macha, the next day, Isa kuli amachatzvayu. Everybody came with their pitchers and their buckets, the asulu gabe. And they went to Rav Masna, v'amalei, they told him, have one maya. Give us water. Give us a matana, right? They wanted water. They understood that what Rav Matana meant when he said mayim shalanu, he meant unzere vaser, our water. So they said, oh, it has to be your water. I didn't realize that. So they all wanted his water. Amalahu. So he told them back, no, anabim maya debisu amri. When I said mayim shalanu, I didn't mean lanu as in ours or my water. What I meant to say was milashan lina, water that was bisu. It slept overnight. That's what I was referring to, a completely different halacha. A woman is not allowed to knead dough for matzah in the sun. She's not so not allowed to use water that was heated by the sun. So a mulyar we had in Perakira, that was some type of percolator, some hot water chinik of something of that sort. So the halacha is you're not allowed to use that water either. Point is, you're not allowed to use hot water. A woman is supposed to be busy with the dough the entire time, meaning until she puts it in the oven and everything is finished. Rashi says, Koloimar. Whenever Rashi says Koloimar, it means that the pshat in the Gemara is not the literal translation of the words of the Gemara. So what does it mean? Al takbiya yadam in atana. Literally, don't lift your hands from the oven. No, that's not what it means. Tehi oisekes bebatzei kol shana. She should be busy with the dough the entire time. She should be constantly kneading it and being busy with it. But tzaruch shnei kelim. Additionally, she should have two kelim. Achas shemekatefes boy. One that she uses to smear the matzah. Ve'echad shemitzanenes boy yisodeh. The other one that she uses to cool off her hand. Ibay luhu avrav alashema. So one of the many halachas that we just mentioned is that when it comes to kneading dough for matzah, you're not allowed to use hot water. What happens if Avra, you keep on talking about it as if it's a woman that's doing it, lav davka, but Avra, if she went and she was lasha, she kneaded the dough using hot water. What's the halacha? Meaning, are these matzahs going to be kosher or are they not going to be kosher? She was over an issa d'rabban, right? We're assuming it didn't become chametz. If it became chametz, then we're not having this conversation. In the event that it's clearly not chametz, however, she violated some halacha. So what's the din? Do we say, being that she didn't do the leash in the proper way, so now you're not allowed to eat it? Or do we say, no, at the end of the day, did it become chametz? So yeah, it's not nice what she did, but it doesn't mean that the matzahs are going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, Mazutra amar motor. Mazutra said it's going to be motor. Ravashi amar asar. Ravashi said it's going to be asar. Amar Mazutra. Mazutra said, no, I mean, how do I know that it's going to be motor? The Tanya, I have a precedent for this. Ein loisisin hasa oirim bepesach. This was daf mem's daf. You're not allowed to soak barley on Pesach. The reason is because we're concerned that by soaking it, it's going to become chametz. The imlasas, let's say you did. Nispaku, if it cracked, meaning it started showing some simanim of becoming chametz, asur, you're not allowed to eat it. Lo nispaku, if it didn't crack, mutarin, it's going to be mutar. So what did Mazutra say? You see from here that this person violated a halacha. You weren't allowed to take the sa'irim and soak it. You did. B'di'evet, if it doesn't have any simanim of chametz, so you're allowed to eat it. So Mazutra said, I don't see why this should be any different. You're not supposed to knead the dough using hot water. Avra v'lasha, as long as it doesn't have any simanim of it having become chametz, I don't see why it should be a problem. Now Ravashi argued. Ravashi said, Aser. So what's Ravashi's rebuttal to Marzutra's raya? So Ravashi Amar, Ravashi will tell you, Atu kulu chadam mechitu machtinu. You can't just go ahead and start applying the Rabbanans in such a broad way. Hecha de itmar itmar, the hecha de loy itmar loy itmar. Meaning to say that if a person violates a Rabbanan, it's still going to be mutter b'di'evid's a little bit of a chiddush. So to tell me, I found one halach in Hilchis Asiyas Matzah where it's mutter, zoysay meres, it's always mutter, you can't do that. You have no right to paint in such broad strokes. So where Chazal said it's mutter, it's going to be mutter. Where Chazal said, or didn't say mutter or asr, you have no right necessarily to assume that it's going to be mutter. Now, the truth is, Rashi's a little bothered with Pshan in the Gemara, because at the end of the day, what's the svara to be mechalik? If Chazal said over there it's mutter, so maybe it should be mutter over here. So Rashi adds a svara. He says that it could be that to be loisei sa'orim isn't such a negligent act, but to go knead the dough together with hot water, that's kroivel amazed, Rashi says. And being that it's kroivel amazed, that's the svara, that's where Ravashi thought that it should be awesome. Meaning Ravashi felt that there is a svara l'chalik, and as a result, just because Chazal said it here, doesn't mean here, and if I have a svara to be mechalik, I'm going to be mechalik. And on that light note, Hadron Allah Kol Shah. So it was a very, very, very intense parak. One of those geshmaka prokem and shas that's not disputable. Ends with a very light gemara. We immediately go into the next parak. Zok, the Heilige Mishnah. Ve'elu oivrim bePesach. The following, says Rashi, if you have these things in your house on Pesach, you're going to be over the lav of Bal Yira, Bal Yimot. Kutach Habavli. So Kutach is a meichel that was very popular once upon a time, clearly, because it comes up so often in Shas. So what was Kutach? It was a dairy product. That's why it comes up in Sugis Abbas of Echalof. It also had flour in it, which is why it comes up in sugis and mesachtes psachim and sugis and perikates and mevarchim. So because if it's different ingredients, it straddles different sugis and different mesachtes and shas. But kutach, the one that came from Babylonia, that's something you're not allowed to have in your house on Pesach. If you have it, you're over the lava by your rabbi, your matzah. V'sheicher ha-modai. Additionally, you're not allowed to have the beer that people used to drink in modai. V'choy metzo adumi. You're not allowed to have adumian vinegar. V'zisum ha-mitri. We'll see what that means. V'zoymen shel tzabah. We'll see what that means. V'amilan shal tabachim. We'll see what that means. V'koylan shal seifer. We'll see what that means. Rabbi Leaz says, af tachshite nashim. If a woman is not allowed to have tachshite, even the different things that she puts on her, even that's a problem. Gemara will explain that. Zeh aklal. Here's the rule. Kol shum yimin dagot. Anything that has in it grain, harezo over the Pesach. If you have it in your rishos on Pesach, you're going to be over by your mor or by your matzah. However, all this is an azara. Ve'im ben mishum karis. However, there's no karis. Now, there's no karis anyways when it comes to by your matzah. So obviously, that last line is referring to someone that eats any one of these products. So the halach is, even though ordinarily, if somebody eats chametz, he's chayiv karis. However, if somebody would eat one of the aforementioned, he would not be chayiv karis. So the truth is, this Mishnah is very much a psicha to some geshmaka, intense sugyas that we're going to learn. It's the sugyas that talk about taruvos of chametz. So we had a little bit of taruvos of chametz in Perek Kol Shah on Daf Chavtes. And we mentioned then that we're going to get into it again in the beginning of the third Perek. This is the beginning of the third Perek. So these are sugyas that deal with taruvos of chametz. Additionally, our Mishnah, without us realizing, spoke about the very abstract term chametz noiksha or chametz nuksha. We'll see what that is in the coming daffin. But today's daf is actually light. It starts off on a rather very technical halacha. But again, just to review. The Mishnah gave examples of different things that you would have thought maybe shouldn't really be chametz, and as a result, maybe you shouldn't have any problems of bayura, bayimatze. However, these are things that even though it's not a bagel, it's not a piece of bread, it's not a challah, so you would have thought maybe it's not a problem. Stating that, it's going to be an issue. Rashi is mefarish ve'elu oivrin aleim bebayiro bayimotze. If you take a look at the first Tosfos in the Perek, so Tosfos brings Rashi and he says that the Riva said a similar pshat. The Riva said that what does it mean ve'elu oivrin? Not oivrin as in you're oiver the iser bayiro bayimotze, but ve'elu oivrin meaning oivrin in a oilam. These are things that you have to destroy because if there's an iser bayiro bayimotze, that means it comes along with a mitzvah saseh of tashbisu. So these are things that you have to get rid of. But ve'en nirlo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam didn't think that's the pshat in ve'elu oivrin. Rather, said Rabbeinu Tam, that ve'elu oivrin simply means that you have to remove these things from the table. You just have to, can't have it in your presence. But there's no issa ba'yura ba'yimatzeh. There's no halacha ve'elu oivrin min ha'oilam. Not so dramatic. Oivrin min ha'shulchan. You just can't sit down and have these products. You can't have beer sitting on your seder table. But doesn't mean that you oivrin ba'yura ba'yimatzeh matzah if you have beer, says Tosfos, and it doesn't mean that the elu oivrim and oilam, it's something that you would have to get rid of. So we have a very important machlokes rishonim, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, what exactly the halacha is. We don't really know what the Mishnah said yet because we didn't learn the Gemara, but in terms of what the halacha is, are we discussing things that are included in bayura bayimatzah? That's the way we explained the Mishnah when we read it. That's what Rashi says, ve'elu oivrim aleim v'bayura bayimatzah. The Riva said the same thing, albeit in a different lashon. Ve'elu oivrim means bayura bayimatzah, but not oivrim over the avera. Oivrim meaning over it from the world, you have to get rid of it. Mavir misa adam in oil. Rabbeinu Tam had a whole different understanding. Rabbeinu Tam said, "There's no bayiro bayimatzeh. You don't have to destroy it. There's no tashbisu. What does ve'elu oivrin mean? It just means that you shouldn't have it on your table." The Noid B'Yehuda in the Tzlach, first Tzlach and the third parak of Mesechtes Psachim, is bothered. He says, "What's the lashon ve'elu oivrin?" Ve'elu with a vav on the chaber, it should have said elu oivrin. Right, vav is always moisef alunin rishon. So what's the ve'elu oivrin? So he says, Gevaldik, he says that what was the last halacha in the Mishnah of Perikol Shah? The last halacha we learned. Me tashmishoy shal nachtoim yishafchu mipnei shehem machmitzen. So the water that the baker used to cool off his hands while he was baking, that water needs to be what? Yishafchu. You have to pour it down the drain. You have to get rid of it. The reason is because it's chametz. So it says the Noid B'Yehuda, according to Rashi and the Riva, that what was the last halacha mentioned in the Mishnah? I told you something that has a taruvas of chametz in it, and you have to get rid of it. Why? Because there's a little something of chametz. So the Vav is Moisef Alin Yon Rishon. So the first halacha of the third parak of Masechtas Pesachim connects to the last halacha of the second parak of Masechtas Pesachim. But he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that there is no halacha of Yishafchu. You don't have to get rid of it. There's no halacha of Mavirim Min HaOlam. But rather, what does it mean, Ve'eluwayim? We just have to take it off the table. So it's a new halacha. What's the Vav Moisef? That's the Noid Behudas Kasha, right in the beginning of the parak. Talk to Gemara. So we mentioned a few types of foods and beverages and different products that people used once upon a time. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about them. So the first one was Kutach HaBavli. So we said Kutach was a very popular food. It had in it a little dairy. It also had in it bread. There were three things that are said about Kutach HaBavli. It's not good for the heart. It's not good for a person's eyesight. And it makes the person's entire body weak. Meaning it's not good for a person. As much as people ate it, it was considered not so good. The reason it's not good for the heart is because of the whey, W-H-E-Y, of the milk that's inside of it. It's a dairy product. It has a little bit of whey. That's not good for the heart. Because there was also salt. Rashi says not just any salt, but rather the infamous Melach Sedoimus, which was considered to be very dangerous. It's one of the reasons Chazal Mesakim Mayim Achroinim at the end of the meal. So there was Melach Sedoimus inside the Kutach HaBavli, and that's why it wasn't good for a person's eyes, because you touch your eyes with the Melach Sedoimus, it could be not good. Umakrish es haguf, and it's not good for the body. Mishum kumniso de umo, because even the bread that was inside was a little bit moldy. So you have spoiled milk, you have moldy bread, you have Melach Sedoimus, which is completely dangerous, but somehow this was on every menu and on every Shabbos table. Tana Rabbana, Gimel Dvarim, Marbin HaZevel. There are three things that cause a person to have more Zevel, meaning it's like a laxative. It allows the person to go to the bathroom. The Koifef and Esakoyma. It also makes a person become a shtickle, a hunchback. The Noitlin Echon Michamish Meas Marin of Shalom. It takes away 1/500th of a person's vision. It's not good for his eyes. Elon, what are these three things? Paskiber, which some translate as whole wheat bread. Interesting. The Sheikhar Chadosh, new beer. The Yerek Chai. And raw vegetables. Now, not all vegetables. Last Rashi on the Amid. Could go in krishin, which is leek. Ubitzalim are onions. The chazerin, which is lettuce. By the way, if this Gemara sounds familiar, so we had a little bit of this idea in Erev and Daf Nun Hey, and a little bit of it in Brachis Daf Mem Gimel. Zok the Gemara. Tanu Rabban, Shleish Advar, Mematin Es HaZevel. There are three things that work just the opposite. Ne Memait the Zevel. The Zoykvin Es HaKayma makes a person stand more straight. Umir Es HaYinayim. And it's actually good for a person's eyes. Elohim, what are those three things? Pas Nikia, that's refined bread, basar shamein, fatty meat, v'yayin yoshon, and aged wine. Pasnakia, what does that mean? The smit that comes from white flour. Basar shamein, what's an example of basar shamein that's healthy? All fatty meats are healthy? No, the tzapirta, we're talking about the meat that comes from a goat. Rashi says, the loy iftach, shaloy yolta, they never had a baby. So this is a female goat, obviously, that never had a baby. So this is somehow very beneficial. Yayin yoshon, what is aged wine that's good? Atiki, atiki, atik, atiki. Meaning, not just yoshon, it's yoshon ben benoy shal yoshon. Which Rashi says is yoshon shal shonim. It's 3 years old. Kol mili de maili lahai, kasha lahai. Everything that you find, meaning in general, when something is good for one thing, often it's going to be bad for another thing. And with the kasha lahai, maili lahai, this is just the general rule. Bar mizangavila retiva, with the exception of fresh ginger, upilpli arichta, long peppers, upas nikia, that's the bread we just mentioned, ubasa shamein, that's the fatty meat that we just mentioned that comes from the eiz shalo yolda, v'yayin yoshan, and 3-year-old wine, the maile kulugufa, that's good for everything. So these three things are actually a chiddush, because these are three things that have no side effect, that it's literally good for everything. So the Gemara says foods, sometimes you'll find a food that's good for one thing, but it's not good for something else, it's good for that, it's not good for this. But here you have an example of three things that are actually good for everything, and that's part of the uniqueness of these three things. Sheikhar Hamada. So the first thing the Mishnah mentioned as Ve'elu Oivrim BePesach was Kutach HaBavli. What's the second? Sheikhar Hamada. This is beer that comes from Mada, as in Paras U'Madai. So what was unique about Sheikhar HaMadai? The Ramu Bein Beisairi, because there was barley inside. It's a very interesting Rashi, because beer is something that comes up a lot in Shas. So just to understand a little bit better the beer that people drank in the times of Chazal, so just reading Rashi, it's the first narrow line. The feature Ba'oisan Hayomim, in those days, says Rashi, Ein Noyegim Lasu Sheikha Elam Etmarim. All beer came from dates. It's a good claw. Ubimadai, however, in Madai, they were ahead of their time. Oisin Sheikhar Mimesa Oirim. They used to make Sheikhar from barley. Kein Oisin Shalanu, Rashi says. Like the beer that we drink is Karile Sheikhar Amadai. That's why it was called Sheikhar Amadai. So really, Sheikhar Amadai is just good old fashioned beer. But back in the day, the only ones that drank this beer were the people from Madai, hence the name Sheikhar Amadai. V'choy Metzo Adumi. Additionally, the vinegar of Edumi, though that vinegar as well had the same halach. So, what's unique about Chaim Metzo Adumi? The Shadu Beisari. Because the vinegar used to come from Sa'irim. The Gemara explains. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, B'tchilo, Chaim Leviyim Nesachim Yehuda, when they used to bring the Sachim, wine for the libations, wine for the Nesachim that was brought on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would bring it from Yehuda, and Lo'ihoya Yenam Shal Yehuda Machmetz. At the time that the wine was brought for Nesachim, this is a fascinating idea, there was a shmira on all the wine. So because the people from Yehuda, they used to donate the wine for the Mizbeach, so all their wine had a shmira. And the shmira was, it never became chametz. And it was a problem. It never became vinegar. And it was a problem. There is a problem as long as you need vinegar. There's a function for vinegar. So what did they do if they needed vinegar? They had to put barley inside, and that somehow messed up the wine. And then they had vinegar. And stam chaymitz in that region of Eretz Yisrael, it was understood, had in it a little bit of siren. Because that's the only way you got chaymitz. You couldn't get chaymitz without siren. But now that the Beis HaMikdash was charev, and there's no nesachim, and the Yidden and Yehuda don't have the schus anymore, that they're contributing and then donating all this wine to the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't work that way anymore. Rather, if you want to see this mitzvah, it says where you could see it somewhere else. Ein yeinim shel adumim machmetz. The wine in Edom, the Edomians, these were Ein Yehudim, Zari shel Esav, they had this mitzvah, machmetz. Actually, nois l'teichon soyim. They would have to put soyim inside their wine in order for it to become vinegar. And therefore, Chazal, whenever they wanted to describe the chaymetz that had barley in it, they referred to it as chaymetz adumim. So once upon a time, they didn't have to call it chaymetz adumim because it was understood. All vinegar had soyim inside of it. How else are you getting vinegar? You have to have soyim. If you're in Yehuda, you're in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, that region, there's no other way to have it. Now, that's basically this was charev, so we don't have that mitzvah anymore. You know, has the mitzvahs, Edom has the mitzvahs. So it's an interesting thing. It used to be that it was the Yidden's wine that never became vinegar unless they put soyim. And then it became the Edomim's wine that never became vinegar unless they put soyim. Zokti Gemara, L'kayim HaShenemar. This is actually a kiyum in a pasig, one of the nevuahs of Yecheskel, where Yecheskel said, Imala HaCharava. Chazal famously darshan, Imala Zu Charava Zu. Imala Zu Charava Zu. That there's an inverse relationship between Yaakov and Esav. And when Yaakov is Mala, then Esav is Charava. And when Esav is Mala, Yaakov is Charava. So Imala, when the Yidden's wine wasn't becoming vinegar, charava. You didn't find it by the Edomim. But when it happened with the Edomim, then you didn't find it by the Yidden. So it's because of this relationship. This is just another example, a sif katan, l'kayim ha-shenema, this pasuk. Nachman Yitzchak, he said that, learned it from a different pasuk. It says, ulo'oim milo'oim yematz, which is the pasuk that describes Yaakov and Esau when they were born, and one of the nevuos that Shem ben Noach told Rivka was that you're going to see that one nation is going to obtain its strength from the other nation, ula'oim mila'oim yematz, which seems to say that Yaakov and Esau, they can't both be melachim at the same time. And again, this is the same idea. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda Barishayna. Rabbi Yehuda said, in Yehuda, in the olden days, if somebody would buy vinegar from an Am Haaretz, ain't it tzarech la'aser? He didn't have to be master. Because it was understood that the wine never became vinegar. So if it never became vinegar, and you're buying vinegar, it didn't really come from wine. Where did it come from? It came from temet. So what's temet? In the winemaking process, after wine is made, so you have the iska clap the grapes on the bottom of the barrel. So what they would do is they'd pour water on top of it, and that would create a very, very diluted, inferior quality wine. It's what Chazal referred to as temed. That temed, because it's not real wine, turned into chaymetz. But the real wine didn't turn into chaymetz. So Rabbi Yehuda said, a halacha, that's negei hilchas maestres. If somebody buys chaymetz from an amaretz, the amaretz is chashu, that maybe he didn't give chumas from maestres. So do you have to give maestres? So he said, no, because there's a chazak Dafka, we can assume that it came from the Temed. And if it came from the Temed, you don't have to worry about it. Achshav, however, Rabbi Yehuda said, now it's different. This was all Barishayna in the olden days, when wine didn't turn into chaymetz. But now, if someone buys chaymetz from Ma'aretz, Sarach L'Asri, does have to be Ma'aser, Shecheskase Einei Ba'elam and Hayayin. Because today we assume that the chaymetz probably came from wine, and it certainly you would have to be Ma'aser. One thing you see clearly from Rabbi Yehuda, and that is, Rabbi Yehuda must be of the opinion that you don't have to be Ma'aser Temet, right? That's obvious, because if you have to be Ma'aser Temet, so what's the difference if it comes from wine, if it comes from Temet? Either way, you'd have to give Ma'aser. Rabbi Yehuda must be of the opinion, you don't have to be Ma'aser Temet. V'atanya, afraid to Gemara. Kasha is, we learned to the Brayis, Ma'tamed, if somebody is making Temet, V'nasa Mayim B'mida, U'matzak D'emidasa Y'pater. What would be if somebody added water to the grapes, and he comes back, and he measured what he has, and he saw he has the same amount? Meaning, he added an ounce of water, and he found an ounce of temed. So, dalach is potter. You don't have to give maestris, because we assume that there's nothing there. All there is the original water that you put there. On water, you don't have to be meister. Now, even though it changed in color a little bit, and it tastes a little bit different, but the Tanakhama, the Chachamim in this halacha hold, that's not a problem. That's not enough of a reason to be mechayiv you meister. Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says he's going to be chayiv. Why? Because he holds that even though all that changes is the taste and the color, that's enough for you to be chayiv. But one thing you see for sure, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is you have to give maestros on temet. So we have a blatant stira in shita's Rabbi Yehuda as it relates to the obligation to give maestros on temet. Here Rabbi Yehuda said in the olden days when it was understood that chaymetz came from temet, so you don't have the halachas of demai when it comes to temet. It comes to vinegar. Because if you buy vinegar, it came from temet. Temet is not a problem. Well, why wouldn't it be a problem? Oh, obviously because you're assuming you don't have to give maestros on temet. Here Rabbi Yehuda said mefurish, ha-metamed, v'nosan mayim b'mida, Rabbi Yehuda mechayef. Forget about mayim b'mida. At the end of the day, all it is temet. So the Gemara says, hachi karmeli, nech shudu ame yoretz ala temet. Rabbi Yehuda never meant to say that when you buy chaymetz from an ame oretz, you don't have to give maestros because it's temet, and memela what? There's no chi of maestros on temet. No, Rabbi Yehuda sheet is there is a chi of maestros on temet. He meant to say, there's no halachas of demai by temet. Because why do you give demai? What's the halacha? It's predicated on the fact that Tami Yoretz don't give Meiser. He said, oh, you don't have to worry about Tami Yoretz because Tami Yoretz, as much as the chashud not to give Meisers from wine, not going to give away a good glass of wine. But at the same time, to be mafish Meisers from Temet, that's something even Tami Yoretz don't have a problem. Iba Yisem, or you could say Nechshud. Maybe really then chashud v'lei kashu. Could be there's two types of temeds. There were different ways and processes when it came to making the temed, and it could be depending on which way the temed was made, that would make the difference. So when it was bidirafka, that's when the temed was made using the lees. Bidirportsini is when it was used, when it was made using the grape seeds. Either way, apparently that makes a difference in the laws of Maestris, and that's the teretz. That's how you reconcile the two shittas of Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we're moving along in the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses different things that you would have thought maybe you shouldn't be chayev, ba'yura, ba'yumatze, things that you shouldn't have to remove from your table on Pesach, stating that ve'elu oy from the Pesach. The first one was kutach habavli. The second one was shecher hamadai. The third one was chaymetz adumi. So we explained those three. Now we're up to the next four. Again, what's the pshat in all this? That's the coming dafen. That's where the fun starts. That's the lamdis and all the halachas of taruvais of chametz and chametz noiksha. But for now, we have to just understand the words of the Mishnah. V'zisoim hamitzri, Egyptian zisoim. So what is that? So the Gemara my zisoim hamitzri. Tana Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said this was a beverage. It was tilsa sairi. The ingredients were 1/3 barley, tilsa kurtami, it was 1/3 saffron, vitilsa milcha, and 1/3 salt. Rapapa mapik sairi umayochiti. Rapapa, not surprisingly, had an opinion of what the right recipe for this was, right? Sounds a little like a beer. So Rapapa said that instead of having sairin, what you should put instead is chiti. You don't make it with barley. Right way to make it is with wheat. The simonich, and a good way to remember whether Rabbi Yosef was the one who said sairin, and Rapapa was the one that said chitin or vice versa. Why would you want? Like, why is that important to remember that Rabbi Yosef said sa'irim and Rapapa said chitin? But either way, Rapapa, mapik sa'irim ayo, chitin v'simonich, a good way to remember is sisni. What's the remez? Sisni is samach samach. Yosef Sairi. So Rabbi Yosef was the one that said Sairi, even though Sairi is with a sin, but phonetically it sounds Sisni with a samach. Tarule. So what did they do with them? What was this all about? This Egyptian sea slime. What was the point in it? So the Gemara says they would soak all these ingredients together for kali lahu, and then they would toast them. For tachani lahu, they would grind them. You know, put it in a blender. They would drink it between Pesach and between Shavuos and the Kamet Merapilu. What was the purpose of it? Somebody that was Kamet, he was constipated, Merapilu allowed him to go to the bathroom. Uderafi, and someone who was going to the bathroom too often, Mekametlu, so then it constipated him. L'chaylo uli ishu barasakanta. However, if somebody's sick, right, you have to read the Surgeon General warning, or if a woman is pregnant, then it wasn't advised for her to take this. So it's interesting, this was apparently some mashka that was used l'rafua. And the Gemara says that when did people drink it? You're supposed to drink it between Pesach and Atzeres. So, of course, what comes to mind is the Gemara in the Sechet Shabbos, the Kuf Mem Zayin Amidbeis. Omer Shmuel, Shmuel, who was a doctor, said, Kulu Shakyani, all beverages that people drink for refuah, midivcha v'adatzarta mailu. The best time to drink it is between Pesach and between Shavuos. So, Shmuel, as a doctor, said that you want to know all these beverages, when they're the most effective, it's if you drink it between Pesach and between Shavuos. And the Chassam Sofer, in his Chiddush Chassam Sofer al Hashas, on that Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, says that this Gemara is a remnes to what it says in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, and that is Iyar, as in Chodesh Iyar is Rosh Hateves, Ani Hashem Roifecha. Aleph is Ani, Yud is Hashem Roifecha. Because Midivcha Vadatzarta, you see, these Shakyani were the most effective. What's Midivcha Vadatzarta? Which month falls out between Pesach and Shavuos? It's Chodesh Iyar. So all the refuahs work best because of Ani Hashem Reifecha. Either way, this Gemara, I think, is an obvious sushal to them. Midivcha v'adatzarta, that's this idea of Ani Hashem Reifecha. Right? The Marsha says in his Chiddush HaGadol and Masechta Zivamos, that was the Chiddush of the fact that the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, they all died. Midivcha v'adatzarta. Loshana Gemara, Masechta Zivamos. Because even though that's a Zman, says the Marsha, that's Mesugal Refuah, Kemavur Bechazal. And Afal Pikin, it was Dafka during that time, and it was to show that this was a and that's why it happened. But that's what the Zisum HaMitzri is. The next item mentioned in the Mishnah was Vizoyman Shel Tzaboim. So the Tzaboim are the dyers. These are people that used to dye things. So their Zoyman is also something that the Elu Oivrim. What is this exactly? Hachat Argimu in Bavel, they used to say what it means is Maya de Chivri. It's bran that was soaked in water. So that water that had bran soaked in it, that's what this is. The Tzavilu Laba. And this is something that the tzabon they used to use to dye their skins. The amilon shel tabachin. Next thing mentioned in the Mishnah was the amilon of tabachin. So amilon is bread. What type of bread is it? What's unique about the amilon of the tabachin? A tabach is a cook, right? So what's special about this? Pas tfuah lo hiviu shlish. This is pas that didn't grow a third yet. Shemanicha pikdera. The cooks used to put it on the top of a pot. V'shayheves azuama, and it would absorb some of the froth that's inside this boiling pot. This was something that you would have thought that maybe it doesn't get included in the halachas of the Elu Oivrin, right? Why not? Why is this not regular chametz? Again, that's all coming in the coming dafen. But that's what the metzius, that's what amilon shel tabach is. And finally, the koilon shel seifrim. A seifer is a scribe. So the scribes koilon, this is another thing that is included in the halach of the Mishnah of the Elu Oivrin. Zok Gemara, what is that? Hachat aguma peruah de ushbechi. In Bavel, they used to say that this is referring to the shoemaker's glue. So ushbechi is a shoemaker. So he had this paste, this glue that he used to use. So the koilon shel seifrim. Now just pray if you pay attention carefully to the words. The scribe's koilon, the thing that the seifer used to use, is the glue that the shoemaker used to use. This is tana chitin v'haydalai b'sayrin, pun intended, right? You're talking about a seifer, you're talking about a shoemaker. So if simi b'chaz no'am, the Gemara's going to address it. Is that tipulin shel b'nei sashirim? No, it's something else. The b'nei sashirim, they used to have some sort of paste that they would use to remove here. And the leftovers, they would give to the b'nei saniyim. So the tipulon shel b'nei sashirin, shem mishayris oisay l'b'nei saniyim, that's what the koilon shel soifrin is. Faith the Gemara, Amy. How could that be? The Gemara asks a kasha on the second shot, on Rav Simi Mechoy's no. But Tani Rav Chi taught in a braiso, that of the seven things that were mentioned in the Mishnah, arba mine medina, u'shloishe mine umnes. Four of them are associated with a specific medina, and three of them are associated with a profession. Right? What did the Mishnah say? Kutach habavli. Bavel's a Medina. The Sheikhar Amadai. The Chaymetzah Adumi, that's Edom, is Esam HaMitzri, that's Egypt. The last three were Vazayman Shal Tzabon, Vamilan Shal Tabachin, Nekoylan Shal Zayfim. It's all related to the different professions. So Reb Chiya summarized the Mishnah, and he said the seven halachas, the four are related to a Medina, and then the three are related to a different profession. What's the Kashvi? I'm going to pull Shal. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Koylan Shal Seifrin is related to the Bnei Sashirim, my mini umnis, and I do it in umnis. It's just the Bnei Sashirim. If Seifrin means a Seifer as an ascribe, then I understand. But if it means the Bnei Sashirim, what they used to give to the Bnei Sanim, so what makes that into something that's used by a profession? Now, we should have spoken this out. What's Pashup Shat? What would be Pashup Shat? Koylan Shal Seifrin is related to this leftover paste that the Bnei Sashirim used to use and they would give to the Bnei Sanim. So Pashup Shat is because the Aniyim were often described as Seifrin, right? It was a job that was associated with Aniyus. And if that's the case, so it's Koylan Shal Seifrin because they used to take it as a gift from the Ashirim. But again, the kasha is that V'i Amriti Bulon Shal Bnei Ashirim, if that's what it means, so it's not the fact that the Seifrim used it, it's just that the Bnei Seifrim used to take it from the Bnei Ashirim. So it's not associated with a profession. So again, my Minei Umnesiko, so the Gemara says, I understand. And only according to Rav Simi Mechai's Nos Pshat, you don't understand it. The first Pshat in Bavel, they used to say that what does Koylan Shal Seifrim mean? It means Perur de Ushbechi. That you do understand. Fellow, my Perur de Ushbechi, my Karli, high Koylan Shal Seifrim. Koylan Shal Ratzonomi Boyle. It's not Seifrim, it's Ratzonomi. On him, it's shoemakers. Rabbi Shai, Loilam Peru, the Ushpechi, my Karli, Koylan Shal Seifrim, the Seifrim Nami, Bedakim, and the Yerzim. Now, the first Pshat's the real Pshat. Really, it's the Koylan Shal Seifrim. The reason Chazal said, and it's the glue that the shoemakers used to use, because apparently that was something people were a little bit more familiar with. So, you want to be Mefarish or Mishnah, I'll tell you, well, Avad, it's called Koylan Shal Seifrim because Seifrim used it. If they didn't use it, we wouldn't call it Koylan Shal Seifrim. You want to know why Hacha Targima, we're talking about shoemakers? Not because only shoemakers used it and not Seifrim. Really, Seifrim also used it. That's why the Mishnah referred to it as Koylan Shal Seifrim. But in terms of being practical, translating something so you understand, the Oyun knows what's going on. So he said, oh, you know that thing that everyone knew what the shoemakers used. Not everyone knew what the Seifrim used. And that's why it was referred to as the Aydin that was used by the Seifrim, not by the item that was used by the shoemaker. Exhale. So, as it relates to the raid, to go back to yesterday's raid, which is all me'inyin, le'inyin, ba'is te'inyin, and that is the halachos of Mar. So yesterday we mentioned that there's two minhagim in Klal Yisrael as to how people are mekayim the mitzvah of Mar. There's one minig that people use lettuce as Mar. There's another minig that people use horseradish as mar. And the truth is, both minhagim have a makar in the one Mishnah in Shas that discusses the yirakai sha'adam yoitza b'ham yedei chayvasa b'pesach. The Mishnah says it could be yoitza with chazeres, tamcha, charchavino, ulshin, and mar. Chazeres is what in Aramaic is chasa, which in German is salat, which in English is lettuce. Tamcha says the Tosfos Yontif, Anu regilim lefarshai, it means horseradish. So the Mishnah says it could be yoitza the mitzvah of maru with lettuce, and the Mishnah says it could be yoitza the mitzvah of lettuce with the mitzvah of maru with horseradish. The point is they both work, and it's because they both work that you have two minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Stating that, the Gemara was mavur, that even though there are different yurakas that a person can use to be yoitza the mitzvah of maru, however, mitzvah b'chazeres, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down in Archaim, Simen Tafai, and Gimel, Sivkan Vav, that mitzvah b'chazeres, the l'katchila way for a person to be yoitza the mitzvah of maru, is using lettuce. So the question is, if the mitzvah l'katchila is to use chazeres, so why do so many people use horseradish? So we mentioned yesterday that the reason is because at the end of the day, our lettuce, romaine lettuce, or the lettuce that people use for maru is usually not bitter. In fact, it's usually sweet. People that like it, it tastes pretty good. So if that's the case, even though Chazal said mitzvah b'chazeres, but ain't mikra yoytzim idei pshutai, maru is supposed to be bitter. The reason we eat maru is al shem vayim maru as chayim. So those that feel that enochinami, once upon a time, people ate chazeres because they were eating bitter chazeres. They were eating chazeres that stayed in the ground for a long period of time. Maybe chazeres that's native to different lands, that was cultivated in a certain way. But the chazeres must have been bitter. And when the chazeres was bitter, mitzvah b'chazeres. But the take romaine lettuce that you'll put in your salad, that's not something that you're allowed to eat. Because at the end of the day, maror has to be bitter. Because the reason we eat maror is to remember vayim maror as chayeyim. And therefore, if you need to find something bitter, and look, Atchili is supposed to use something that's mentioned in the Mishnah, so we'll use Tamcha. Tamcha, Tamin, Mesaprim, Kfayt Kale, like the Hilgach Samsoifer said, Tamcha is Chrein, it's horseradish, and that's what you're supposed to. But regardless, both Minhagim have a Makar. So I just wanted to talk a little bit more from a machshava standpoint. There are so many Yidden that use lettuce, and they don't use bitter lettuce, they use sweet lettuce. And it's mashma that way from the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, etc., etc. The question is, how do you make sense of that? How do you reconcile this idea that you're being mekayim the mitzvah of maror, which is zecher to vayimaru es chayeim, using something that clearly is not bitter? In Parshas Shmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe for the first time. He comes to him by the sneh, Moshe, Moshe, Hineini, Shal Nalechem, Yal Raglecha, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to give you a very important mission. I want you to be a shliach. I want you to be the one that is going to represent me and Klal Yisrael to take the Yidden and Adam Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu went back and forth. But HaKadosh Baruch, he wasn't interested. 7 days, and finally he agrees. Together with his brother Aaron, they go to Pare, and they tell Pare, let my people go, right? I'm coming in the name of God. He created the world. He's the God of all your gods. And he told me, instructed me to tell you to let the Yidden come at him. It's right. What was Pare's reaction? Pare said, these people are insane. Tichpado avoido al anoshim. They're clearly not working hard enough. Right? God appeared to them. He wants them to come out of Egypt. He says, make them work hard. And the pasuk goes on and describes in detail exactly what Pare made the Yidden do. Whereas formerly they were working like this. Now suddenly they had to work like that. And suddenly everything starts devolving and spiraling completely out of control. Moshe Rabbeinu saw what happened. Says the pasuk, this is the mafter in Parashat Shmos. Vayoshev Moshe al Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayoymer, and he said, Hashem, lama hariyoysa lama zeh. Lama zeh shlachtani. Why'd you do this? I understand. The idea was, the goal was for me to be the shlech to take the Yidden and Adam Mitzrayim. And what happened? Umeyaz basi al Pari, for the time I came to Pari, ledaber b'shmecha, to represent you, to speak in your name, heira lo amazeh, v'hatzo lo yitzalta es hamecha. This is not playing out the way you told me it was going to. So Hashem told Moshe, atatir, now you're going to see Hashem esel afari. Ki biyod chazoka yishalchem, u biyod chazoka yigarshem mi'artzai. So Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the Haran, they go to Paran for the first time. Let my nation go. What's Pari's reaction? Tichba do avoid al anoshim. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes running to Hashem. Vayoshem Moshe al Hashem. Vayoymer Hashem. Lama hariyoysa lo amazeh. Lama zeh shalachtani. And the beginning of Parshas, Vo'era, Rashi brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with the way Moshe Rabbeinu reacted to the events. And he said, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. How does the next parasha begin? Parashas Va'era. Va'era al Avram, al Yitzchok, v'al Yaakov. Right, immediately, the Eibishter banked sich noch the Ovis HaKadoshim. Because Rashi says that Hashem told Moshe, with the Ovis, I never had situations like this. Do you know the Nesioinus Avram had and Yitzchok had and Yaakov? And they never questioned me. They said, all of a sudden, I send you on a shlichus and something doesn't work out perfectly. Lama hariyoysa lo amazel, lama zeh shalachtani, vadvorim atikin. The Briskerov said, what was really pshat? What was really pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Parai, he has the shlichus. This is the aschal to the geula. This is when everything is going to flip over. We're going from golus to geula. And he has this job of taking the Yidden and Adam Mitzrayim. And what's Pari's reaction? Everything gets worse. So the Briskerov said a dover nifla. He said, we know the Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Avram Avinu by the Brisbane Absorm in Parshas Lech Lecha, and he told him, Yodoya Teda Kiger Yizaracha. Right, it's going to be terrible, and then eventually the gamasa goya sheyavoidu dona noichi va'achri ken yetsu b'chol shkola. But how many years were the Yidden supposed to be in Mitzrayim? The Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Ultimately, they were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Not just that, the shibud of Mitzrayim, the vayimaru as chayeim of Mitzrayim, lasted for how many years? 86 years. Miriam was called Miriam because she was born at the time of Vayimaru es Chayeyan, at the onset. Miriam was 86 years old at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Gematria of Elikim, like we spoke at earlier this week from the Chassam Sofer, and the Vayimaru es Chayeyan ended up being 80, but it was supposed to be 400 years. So if it was supposed to be 400 years, why was it only 210 years? Why was it only 86 years? So Chazal say it was because of the Koshe Yashivot. It's because Hashem made in Echos, qualitatively, the Golos, and the Vayimaru as Chayeyim, and the Vavodim V'inu Oysim to be so terrible, that qualitatively they got in 210 years. They got in 86 years what they were supposed to have gotten in 400 years. So said the Brisker Rav, so what ultimately brought in and ushered the Geula? It was the Koshi Hashibut. Without the Koshi Hashibut, the Yidden were going to be in Mitzrayim for another 200 years, another 100 and whatever years, do the math. But it was because of the Koshi Hashibut. It was because of Tichbado Avoido Al Anoshim that they got out. So the Biskarov said, Adov and Nifla. The Ebeshah sends Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paroi. And he told Paroi, let my nation go. I'm a shliach of the Ebeshah. What was Paroi's reaction? Tichbado Avoido Al Anoshim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes running to Hashem. Lo Mari Yosel, Lo Mazel, Lo Mazel Shalachtani. This is backfiring. Zok to Biskarov, it wasn't backfiring. Moshe Rabbeinu at Nishvashtanin. This was the Geula. Because in order for the Geula to happen now, there had to be a Koshi. And where was the Koshi Hashibud going to come from? It was going to come from Tichbado Avoido Al Anoshim. This was precisely the next move in this chess match. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to checkmate Paroi. But the Yidden needed the schoolers and they needed the schosim. And part of that was the Shibud Mitzrayim. And they needed Koshi Hashibud. Otherwise it's 400 years. And the only way we can get out now, literally, after only 50% of the term, is by making that up. And now we're going to make it up, not with quantity, but rather with quality. So what's the next move? The next move is Tichbado Avoid Al Anoshim. Aber Moshe Tis Nishvashtanen, the Briskerov said. And that's why he came to the Ebeshter. Lom Ariyoysa, Lom Azel, Lom Azel Shalachtoni. But what did Ebeshter tell him? Vayoyim Hashem, Moshe Atatira. No, this is all about the Geula. You don't understand. Now you're going to see Asher Esel Paroi. Ki biyod chazoki yishalchem, u biyod chazoki yigarshem miyartzoi. A dover nifla. But the truth is, if you think a little bit about this idea of the Koshi Hashibud, I think it's Tzorech Bir. The Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Instead of being there for 400 years, they ended up being there for 210 years with the Koshi Hashibud of 86 years. And it seems that this was a big chesed. What was the chesed? You don't have to be there for 400 years. No, it's only 86 years. Is that really a chesed? I mean, think about it. It's six of one, half a dozen of another, right? So imagine saying, instead of Auschwitz being, the Holocaust lasting for 6 years, could have lasted for 30 years. And instead of gazing, Rachmana Litzlan, 30,000 Jews a day in Auschwitz, or whatever the numbers were, it could have been only 5,000 or 6,000 that would have been spread out over 20, 30 years. Is that a chesed or faker? Instead of it being 6 years, we'll do it in 2 years, and they'll gaz 100,000 a day. Is that a grace of chesed? I guess the war would have ended quicker and we can get back on our feet. But I think it's sarach bir a little bit. What's the havana? What's the teeth guide over here of the koyche hashibud? But at the end of the day, the Yidden got what they were supposed to get, right? So there was supposed to be a shibud that wasn't going to be so gefährlich, spread out over a longer period of time. Instead, it was intensified and it ended up being more intense over a shorter period of time. I think this chazal is an enoy oimer ela dershuni. So this is obviously above our pay grade. But just one ha'ara, one Neufach, as it relates to this idea, maybe understanding it on a little bit on a different level. And that is based on a fascinating mimer in the Ur Yisrael from Hagoy Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And that is as follows. We know the Sfarim say, in different places, in different Nuschois, Marke de Islay, Marke de Islay, that Shibud Mitzrayim, in Hashem's infinite wisdom, was something that was very good for Klal Yisrael. It was a prerequisite. It was something that the Yidden needed in order to be Mekabel the Torah. It was something that the Yidden needed in order for them to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. So Shibud Mitzrayim, as much as it was terrible, Vayimoru es Chayim, but again, seeing the big picture, like we'll see one day when it's going to be Umal Aretz Deya, it was understood that for the Yidden, it was actually something that was very important. It was something that was very, very necessary. And with that theme, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says something fascinating. He says that Chazal say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu one day is going to judge a person for every little thing he does and for every big thing that he does. Now, on the simplest level, Elul, for example, what's the symbol? You have the maznayim, you have the scale. You have the mitzvahs on one side, you have the averis on the other side. If you have more mitzvahs, more averis, what's machriya sakaf? Blazab ben arach, right? Whatever's on one side of the kaf, that's always going to determine, that always determines what a person is. But the truth is, says Rabbi Yisrael, it's obviously not so simple, right? Why is it not so simple? Because there's so many factors that go into every mitzvah that a person does. There's so many factors that go into every avera that a person does. The background of every mitzvah, the background, the context, the person's upbringing, the person's matzav that he was in when he did a certain avera, the person's matzav that he was in when he did a certain mitzvah. There's so many different things that go into calculating and considering exactly what the value of a mitzvah is and what the value of an aver is. And the only one that can figure this out is, like the Rambam says, is the ain't shoyklin ella bedaita shel kel deos. This is such an algorithm that's so complex that the only one that has access to this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who are you idea eich orchin as chuyos negado avoynos? L'shoyne yazov shel Rambam perek gimel hilchas shuvah. Because it's so complex. The amount of factors that go into every mitzvah and the amount of factors that go into every avir. Says Rabbi Yisrael, there are many different factors, but let's discuss one. And that is, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah, l'fum tzara agra. Fum tzara agra. The more pain that a person has to overcome in order to do a mitzvah, the more schar he's going to get. It's pashut, that's the way it is. The more pain that a person has to get to stop, fight himself from doing an avera, the more schar that he's going to get. So he says, I'll give it to you with a mashal. Somebody sits down and he learns for 1 hour. And at the time that he sat down to learn for that hour, his mind was perfectly lucid. He was perfectly clear. He was in the best place. There was nothing about his nature that was fighting it. The learning went so geschmack, it was so geschmiert, everything was so easy. You could have that same person at a different time. He sits down to learn for an hour. It was literally the opposite. It was the most impossible thing for him to do, to learn for an hour. His tsar was incredible. He said the two acts were identical. In both cases, the person learned for an hour. But the context was completely different. There's no two mitzvahs that are the same. There's no 2 hours of learning that are the same. There's no two daffin that are the same. Nothing, because there's so much that goes into everything. Specifically in this piece, Rabbi Yisrael says, the idea of the fum tzara agra, the more tzara that a person finds himself in, the more of a situation he's going to be. So listen to this punchline. Says Rabbi Yisrael, I'm skipping a few pages now. Says Rabbi Yisrael, we know that the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. And then they started davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were taken out of Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says in Parashat Shmoyitz, Vahi bayomim harabim ahim, vayomas melech Mitzrayim. Vayayonchu b'nei Yisrael, Mino avoido, vayizaku, and they dive into Hashem. Vatal shavasam elo elokim mino avoido. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered that tefillah, and they were saved. The Yidden left Mitzrayim because of tefillah. They dive in, Hashem listened to their tefillah. Parshas Va'era. Hashem tells Moshe, "V'gam ani shomati es nakas b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Mitzrayim avida moisam ve'eskar es brisni." They had the schus of tefillah. Says Rabbi Yisrael, the tefillah that the Yidden daven the Mitzrayim, it wasn't tefillahs with kavanas arid. It's not what it was. It was a krecht. That's what it was. It was vayeyonchu b'nei Yisrael menu avoida. Zem gekrecht. Vayizaku, and they just started screaming. And you know what happened? Valtal shavasim esol elo elokim menu avoida. But that krecht, that tefillah, ushered a geula. He said, how's that possible? He says, you know why? Because it's lefum tzara agro. When a person is going through a situation and he's living in a world of ayumaru es chayeyem, and he's dealing with such adversity where every little act of concentration, there's nothing easy. A klein tefillah, a shtikel krecht, could be marishay lomois, and it could be more valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the greatest tefillahs with the greatest kavanas that comes from the biggest tzaddik in the world. That's what Rabbi Yisrael says. So he says that the Yidden in Mitzrayim, they were in such a bad situation. The world, they were in concentration camps. I mean, we can visualize that a little bit. That's what they were in. And they got up and they realized that even though the world seems dark and there's a hester upon them and nothing makes any sense, but they have a Messiah from an Elta Zeda, from Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and they know that there's a God that created the world and this is all about Him, and He just wants them, us, to serve Him better. And that's what they did. Vayeyonchu b'nei Yisrael menu avoida, vayizaku, they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real ernst moment. Vatal shavasam Elohim menu avoida. Said Rabbi Yisrael, the reason the tefillah worked is because it was vayemaru es chayeyem. The reason the tefillah worked because the situation was so bad. If the matzah wasn't so bad, the tefillah wouldn't have worked the way it did. The reason it worked the way it worked is precisely because the world was falling apart. That's what Rabbi Yisrael says. And he says that comes out the murr, the vayimoru es chayev, is Kufa, what led to the Gula? Because without Mara, there's no Gula. You know why? Because the Schus and the Yidden wouldn't need it to creep out of Mitzrayim at that point. It wouldn't have been possible. The reason it was possible is because they were able to get away with a little bit. The reason is because the matzav was so terrible, so impossible, that even a little something, a Shah Achas of Torah had such value. It was incredible. It's amazing. Rabbi Yisrael saying it, this is chizik. By the way, what was the pun? What was the nimshal? This is all the mashal in Rabbi Yisrael. What was the nimshal? Mer Musar, right? Obviously, this is what it was. He wrote this drush, this wasn't a Shabbos HaGadol drush. This was Erev Rosh Hashanah Tafresh Chaf, in the year 1860. This is Rabbi Yisrael. So he wrote this Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's how he signs off this letter. Erev Rosh Hashanah. And he said, you see, Musar, it's not easy to learn Musar, but you learn a little bit of Musar, it can be Gevald. Rabbi Yisrael, the nimshal was always Musar. But the point is that the mashal was that if a person is in a situation where he has to overcome adversity, the schar that he can get, even for the little bit that he does, can be qualitatively so much more valuable than even doing more quantity in a different time. So I was thinking, maybe that's the tiefkeit of the Koshei Hashivut. It's not that the Yidden got 400 years bottled into such a short period of time. What's the grace of chesed in that? I'm not sure what the big chesed would be. But it could be where the tiefkeit is that Hashem made a situation that was so, so intense. It was so intense and said, here's an opportunity. Right now, if you can overcome this Nisayon, Vatal Shavasam, Elevayizaku, and you can daven, that Schus will be so powerful, it'll allow you to come out of the Gula. But the point is, this is just a long-winded way of saying something that the Sfarim HaKadoshim say. And that is that the Murr, the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, played a tremendous role in the formation of Klal Yisrael. Without the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, we would have never witnessed everything that we witnessed, Asar Nisim. We would have never witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf. Without the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, there may be no Jewish nation. Without the Koshei Hashibud, it could be we wouldn't have had a schus to come out of Mitzrayim. The whole schus was that the Shibud was so kosher, it was so intense, there was such a Koshei Hashibud, and Afal Pikein, the Yidden Davin, Vayizaku, Vayishma Lekimis Nakosam, Vayisker Lekimis Brisai, so it was in that schus that they were able to get out of Mitzrayim. Parenthetically, just to digress for 1 second, my good friend Levi Chomsky showed me in the Siddur Ishe Yisrael, from the Gra. So this is in the Siach Yitzchak, the Pirush from Rav Meltzer. So we say in Psuke de Zimra, V'chorei simei abris, lasis etzeret zaknani, yachiti ha-meiri v'aprizi, v'yevusi v'agurgashi, lasis lezaroi, v'atokem es tverach yitzad gadol, v'ateres oni avisene b'mitzrayim, v'etz zakosam shamato al yamsof. So the Siach Yitzchak in the Gra Siddur, Ishe Yisrael asks, why is it Vateres Oni Avisenu B'Mitzrayim Vesakosam Shemata Al Yamsuf? The Torah talks about the tefillas that the Yidden davened in the Mitzrayim also. It wasn't just the tefillas in the Yamsuf. Parshish Shmois, Parshish Va'eret, that's before the Yamsuf. And the pasuk talks about Vayishma Lekimis Nakosam, Vayishka Lekimis Brisai. So why is it Vesakosam Shemata Al Yamsuf? So Rav Meltzer said that it's true, the tefillas that the Yidden davened in Mitzrayim were gewaldig. That started the Gula. Oh, but it wasn't on the same level as the tefillas by Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? So he says, because by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yidden were Moise Nefesh. They jumped into the Yam. He says, when a Yid is Moise Nefesh, he has a tremendous schus and a koyach to daven. A person who finds himself in a situation where he has to be misgaber and commit an act of mysterious nefesh, it's not easy. But he's gonna control himself. He's gonna be maver al midos, whatever his mysterious nefesh is. But when a person is moise nefesh, he has a tremendous chus of tefillah. So he said, as great as the tefillahs of the Yidden were when they were in Mitzrayim, vayimaru es chayeyim, and still they were able to daven, like Reb Shlomo Salanter said, v'esnakosam shamat al yamsuf, when Nachshon and Aminadav jumped into the yamsuf, and the Yidden were willing to be moise nefesh, they're willing to jump in, the Siris Nefesh gave the Yidden such a skula, such a schus, that a tefillah at a time of Mesiris Nefesh is incredible. A mitzvah, a tefillah at a time of adversity has a whole different kayach. Yisrael Salanter. A tefillah at a time of Mesiris Nefesh is nachgresser. That's Rav Meltzer in Siach Yitzchak. But either way, it comes out that the Vayumaru es Chayeyim, even though to us, of course, what was the Vayumaru es Chayeyim? It was terrible. It was the most horrible thing in the world. But on a deeper level, the Vayumaru es Chayeyim is what brought in the Geula. And Vayimaru es Chayeyim is what led to all the sweetness and all the Geula and all the Madrigos and all the Kedusha that is Klal Yisrael that was ultimately going to come. Because without the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, without even the Koshei Hashibud, Klai Yisrael would have never became what they were able to come. I saw in the Amshinova Haggadah, which was written by Rabbi Yosef Arinster, the Raven Alexander Shlita. So he wrote that he brings from the Vurke Rebbe, that the Vurke Rebbe used to say, now what's the trop on Vayimoru Es Chayeim? So there's a well-known word from the Vilna Gaon. Now Vayimoru Es Chayeim is Kadma Va'azla. Vayimoru Es Chayeim, right, it's Kadma Va'azla. So he said, because the Vayimoru Es Chayeim, the Koshe Yashibur, it was Kadma Va'azla. It's what brought the Geula. Because the Geula came because of Arus, but the Vurke Rebbe said a different akuda. The Vurke Rebbe said that Vayimoru Es Chayeim, Vakadma Va'azla. It's a Freilich HaNigin, right? Kadma Va'azla. Especially, it's like a shmakanigin. It should be the echanigin, right? Hashem haglam Yerushalayim. Like that's what you would think it should be. Vayimaru es chayim. In the Megillah, you have three psukim that talk about. Right, all of a sudden you start crying and it's bechias, and that's important when half the place is drunk. Here you have in Parsha Shmos vayimaru es chayim. These are the most bitter psukim. And vayimaru es chayim mezint vayimaru es. So the Vurke Rebbe used to say, yeah, mezint vayimaru es chayim, because it's true in real time vayimaru es chayim. The world was coming up, was, but eventually it was a chol bnei Yisrael hayar ben myshvay. And the Yidden realized that the Vayimaru Es Chayeim was what made Klai Yisrael. And without Vayimaru Es Chayeim, there wouldn't have been a Klai Yisrael. It's a mezint Vayimaru Es Chayeim. Because at the end, it's a kadma v'azla. It's a freilich hanigin. Because at the end, we realize Vayimaru Es Chayeim is a good thing. Maybe that's the tiefkeit in using sweet lettuce for marer. You sit down by the Leila Seyde, eat marer. And the marer is zecher to Vayimaru Es Chayeim. That's true. That's what it's about. And that's why marer has to be bitter to green saigen, obviously. You have to use a min that's marer. But at the same time, maybe there's an idea that we eat the marer when it's still sweet. Because like this, it's efshel l'kayim shneihem. Because on the one hand, you're taking a bitter marer to remember it was very bitter. It was vayimaru es chayeim. And ein mikra yoytza midei pshutai. But at the same time, there's an idea that we understand now at the Leil HaSeder that because of vayimaru es chayeim, we merited all this geula and all this shefa and all the madrigas of Klai Yisrael all came about because of vayimaru es chayeim. And you know how we remember that? You take a bite into the marer, you know what you realize? It's not so bitter. It's actually pretty sweet. You know why it's sweet? Because there's a sweetness in the marer. Because at the end of the day, it's hard to recognize that. And, you know, in most cases, we'll have to wait, you know, until Umar Arad's day for us to realize the sweetness in the marer. But this was a time where there was such a clarity. There was such a hiskalos, such a clarkai. And they realized the sweetness in the marer. That's something we remember as well. You don't dip an apple in the honey for marer. Because that would obviously be tipping the scale too much in the other direction. But to take a min that's marer, something that if it sits in the ground a little bit longer, it's safely marer, like the Yerushalmi says. But you bite into it and you say, you know something, this is not so bad. This is actually pretty sweet. That captures the depth and the complexity of the Vayimaru Es Chayeim. Because on the one hand, Vayimaru Es Chayeim was very, very bitter. But at the same time, there was a sweetness in that bitter. Because through the Vayimaru Es Chayeim, through the Koshe Yashibut, we became a nation. And maybe that's symbolized by using something that's bitter, but then biting into it and realizing, you know something? It's actually not so bitter.